Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Good Book Study. My name is Elaine D. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, April 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You. We're on page 152, reading and commenting on the second paragraph, one paragraph only. And it begins with, yes, there is a substitute. Today's readers are Nan K. for the 12 Steps, Christine L. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., Robin P., and Eileen M. Kara L. will greet newcomers and take numbers from available sponsors at the end of the meeting, and Robin P. will close us out with some important announcements. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for April 21st, 10 a.m., is 14478. That's 14478. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, April 22nd, is 14482. That's 14482. DOA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover. Yay! Through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Nan K. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, I'm Nan K. from Michigan. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nan K. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Christina L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, A Vision for You, on page 152, reading the second paragraph. And I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And this is the Big Book. Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. It is a fellowship in Alcoholics Anonymous, where you will find release from care, boredom, and worry. Your imagination will be fired. Life will mean something at last. The most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. Thus, we find the fellowship, and so will you. And just for some context, we're looking back in the last few paragraphs, and they've been talking, right, to someone who's sick and suffering, and this person can't quite imagine, you know, what it would be like without their, you know, addictive substance. For me, I couldn't imagine what it would be like without all those bags, boxes, and cartons to indulge in and to escape with. But they're saying, they're trying to tell me there is a substitute, there is another way to do life. And the offer here to escape from that misery and pain and depression, to escape the four horsemen, that terror, bewilderment, frustration, despair, all of that fear, is simply there's a fellowship in Overeaters Anonymous, a group of people who have found that amazing release from care, boredom, and worry. And I can be one of those, they're telling me. And that my life will change. And that my life will have some meaning. And I totally have experienced that. I understand now my purpose of service. I understand what God would have me be each day to see where I can be of service, get outside of myself and reach out to someone else and touch another life, and they touch mine. And I think that is the crux of why I am here, to to be able to try to connect. And the beautiful thing is the fellowship that we have here, the huge network of support for each other. It's like none other. I am just in awe. And yes, you know, since I have recovered, these have, I honestly can say these have been the most satisfactory years of my life. And I look forward to more in recovery. And I appreciate that I have found this fellowship. And so many of us have. And so many more of us can and will. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Okay. Well, let's take a lineup of people who would like to share on this paragraph. But let me remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please give me your name.
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Kathleen.
Shomitama. Sherry KB. And I think
I had heard Freya
with Barbara.
Yeah.
Okay.
Melanie C.
Deborah E.
Rosie C.
Okay. I heard more names than we had time for, and I'm not sure that I got everybody. So let's see, and I hope I can read my own writing. Okay, I've got Barbara E. kicking us off, Freya H., Kathleen O., Sherry KB., Melanie C., Devorah E., and I put Lorraine M. at the beginning of the next lineup. And so, so let's go with that for now. And Barbara E., you're up first, and you'll be followed by Freya H.
Thank you so much for allowing.
If you're not Barbara, if you could press star one to mute your phone, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. Please
I'm sorry.
Barbara.
I think you had Shlomi Tana B also in there, didn't you?
Oh, that's who I was reading. I did have Shlomi Tana, and I read it as Sherry K because her voice was still in my mind. So I do have you in here, and I'm going to move Devorah E down with Lorraine.
I was
in the next lineup.
I did say Sherry K B.
Yes. Okay, so Shlomi, did you want to share? Shlomi Tana, did you want to share? Okay, well, let's just take that as it comes here. And Sherry, I do have you on the list as well. So Barbara E., if you could please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Freya H. Star one to unmute, please, Barbara.
I kept muting and unmuting myself while this lineup got settled. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for hearing hearing my voice. This is a beautiful paragraph, especially when it's combined with the paragraph before it. The paragraph before it said, "Well, what will I be without my food? Will I be changed? Will I be boring? Will I be dull?" And then it says, "We have a better substitute." And here it comes. It's in the very next paragraph. The fellowship, the camaraderie, the group. But I just have to tell you for myself, I went to a lot of pay and weigh meetings. I identified with the people. They were all there to lose weight, but they were there for varying reasons, and they didn't call me up during the week, nor did I ever think of calling up them. And if you're like me, a week can seem like 10 years long. I needed the fellowship as well as the steps. The steps were what kept me from committing homicide with my family of origin. The tools were there to help me from committing suicide by knife and fork, gaining and losing weight. But I just got a call just prior to getting on this meeting from Germany. It's the middle of the day there. She said it was around 3:15. We had a lovely conversation. She put a smile on my face, and I put a smile on hers. I got a call from a woman in New York. I knew I couldn't stay on very long because I said I wanted to get on this meeting. So to me, this is a beautiful combination. The steps, the tools, and the fellowship. I need to reach out when I'm feeling sad, mad, depressed, lonely. And I need to reach out to ask you, my fellows, how you're doing. How is your day going for you? So this is a beautiful, it all fits together. To me, I sound like Tubby the tuba by myself. But if you put me in an orchestra filled with other people playing all different instruments, we make beautiful music together. And that's what this is for me, beautiful music. I am so appreciative of this beautiful fellowship of people who all suffer from some kind of body issue, whether it's bulimia, anorexia, or just like me, a volume compulsive overeater who never seems to get full. So thank you again, and I look forward to hearing all the beautiful shares. I pass.
Thank you so much, Barbara E. Freya H., you're up next, and you're followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Freya.
Thank you so much. Thanks for hearing me. This is Freya H., compulsive eater and bulimic. Grateful to be recovered in Poland.
Freya, I just wanted to let you know, we're hearing some clicking or something on the line. Is there an adjustment you could make?
Let me take off my headset.
Thank you.
Is that better?
Much better. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for letting me know. Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. I love this section. Especially that term sufficient substitute that was in the previous paragraph, because when I'm coming from a place where I haven't experienced that, it's really easy to be incredulous. Like, really? You're telling me I have to put down all these things that are right now giving my life meaning and that you have something better? Because I've tried that. You know, I've tried abstinence only, and it wasn't very fun. You know, it only lasted so long. And what I'm being offered here is I have the word promises written in the margin. You know, it says on the previous page that, you know, normal people get released from care, boredom, and worry in alcohol or, you know, in other substances. And then here it says those exact same words, you will find release from care, boredom, and worry in this program, in this fellowship. So it's addressing that very, very clearly. But for me, what I had to be willing was just to trust that something that I saw in other people's eyes, to really believe that they were living in these promises, they were living this dream, and that somehow they were getting it out of the program. So in order to find out if it was going to work for me, I had to let go absolutely. You know, I see it as like a science experiment. You know, if I want to get certain results, I have to follow the instructions really precisely. I can't keep going back and meddling and then expect to get clear results. You know, so the same thing with this program. I have to just go ahead and do what I'm told. I can't just meddle with it and then expect to get the same, you know, the same level of serenity and freedom that I see. So I also love the line, you know, your imagination will be fired, which means to me, it means it will be lit up. It will be, you know, your imagination is going to, you're suddenly going to see all the things that are possible. And for me, that, you know, I think of the intuitive thoughts that I get from my higher power. You know, that's like my imagination coming alive. I call them God nudges. You know, when God puts an idea in my brain, and I had that happen, you know, just this week where I was wondering about a certain thing. And then I, you know, hours or the next day later, I had a thought just come into my head of like, wow, where'd that come from? That's, you know, thank you, God, for that. So grateful for the opportunity to share on this. And yes, it is, you know, there's this beautiful fellowship. And what I find in the fellowship is people who are working this program. And when I see people who have that light in their eyes, I want what they have. and I find out what they have is just following the directions, you know. But for whatever reason, I can't do it alone. I need this fellowship in order to really work this program. So thanks for being part of it, and thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. Kathleen O., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Shlomit Hanna. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. Yes, there is a substitute, and it is vastly more than that. And like Elaine said in the preamble, yay, a substitute for being consumed by food, a substitute for slowly digging my own grave with a fork. You know, eating kind of goes hand in hand with family get-togethers, parties, going out to eat with friends. And I didn't want to give all that up, but I didn't know how to do those things without just being consumed by the food. And, you know, where normal people could have some of it, if I would eat it, I couldn't stop thinking about it. And then I was becoming glum and boring. But I didn't want to become glum and boring by not sharing, and, you know, the food with people. So, I mean, I couldn't imagine going to parties and doing those, you know, being abstinent. And so this fellowship, it saved me in my early days of abstinence. I went to a party once and there was about 50 people there. And when it was time to eat, everybody got in this long line and went through, you know, the table and piled food on their plates. And I was getting very anxious because I had eaten my meal before I went, because I knew there wasn't going to be the food that I needed. And I wanted to have this squeaky clean abstinence. So I just ate before I went to the party. And so I got at the end of the line and I was talking to the person that was in front of me. And so when they turned and got their food, I said, oh, I'll be right back. And I literally went out and got in the car and called my sponsor, who just kind of talked me through that anxious feeling that I was having. And when I went back in the party, I sat down at a table and nobody even noticed. They thought I had already eaten and switched tables to talk to different people. So, you know, there is a substitute, and it's the fellowship of OA. Life does have meaning without food. And I was able to find that life with the help of all of you. You know, I came in wanting to lose weight. I had plenty of friends and I didn't need more. I just wanted to lose weight. And I did lose the weight, but the friends I found in this fellowship have been a godsend. You know, if I'm suffering or challenged, I don't go to my friends outside of program. I go to you guys. And I'm, you know, not sure how to deal with what life brings my way and things that I would normally eat over, but I have people in this fellowship that I could call. So, you know, life will mean something at last. You know, we get to watch people recover in this new life. Loneliness does vanish. There's a life so much better for all of us than that king food that they talk about. And we don't have to be glum and boring. I think we get less glum and boring. I know I did. And so, you know, in the chapter Working with Others, we're told that life will take on a new meaning. So, my experience is it does take on a new meaning. It takes, you know, life means something at last. So it is truly a joy to trudge this road of happy destiny with all of you. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Sherry K. Oh, no, Shlomit Hanna, you are up next, followed by Sherry K. B. Please go ahead, Shlomit Hanna. Shlomit Hanna, star one to unmute.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
There we go. Yep, we got you.
Okay. Sorry, it took me a while to unmute. Shlomit Hanna B. I'm recovered, and I'm just so incredibly grateful for this meeting, for this fellowship, for everybody on the line. Thank you to the moderator, to the timekeeper, for your service. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And there's so much in this little paragraph, so much that I just resonate with and that I find to be so, so, so true. And I think the sentence that I find to be the most true is that the best years of your life, of your existence, are ahead now in recovery. That has definitely been true for me. Absolutely has been true. I've been in program for a long time, and before I had my relapse a year ago, I'd been abstinent for 11 and a half years, give or take. And I have to say that in those 11 and a half years, my life really, really changed. It changed. It grew. I really became a different person, for the better. You know, the previous paragraph asks, who am I going to be, you know, in recovery? I remember thinking the first time I did the steps, who am I going to be if all my character defects are listed? And little did I know that they're not all listed. But I can say that who you're going to be in recovery is something so much more spectacular than you could have ever imagined. My spiritual life has grown tremendously, tremendously. And just my thoughts have changed. Does it mean I don't have work to do? No. I always have work to do. Life is life and life happens and there are always new challenges. But I can be somebody that I like a lot better by working this program. And since I've had my relapse and done the steps, and thank God I'm living in 10, 11, and 12 now, you know, even just in this short time, I really see the difference in my thought life and in who I am. You know, I have so many tools at my disposal to use. And as somebody mentioned before, and I think the paragraph mentions just the fellowship as well, you know, I could not do this without the help of everyone else. And one of the things that really brings me a lot of satisfaction is by being in the position to help other people. You know, I remember before my relapse, I was sponsoring a lot. And it was so amazing to just have these calls with people and to reach out to people in fellowship, where they were, whether they were sponsees or friends or whatever, and to get off that phone and to feel like in some just even small way that I had made a difference and that I had been able to ease their life a little bit just by sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And that's the beauty of the fellowship, and that's the beauty of recovery, is that it really becomes about other people, about other
that's
people.
Tremendous.
And thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, thanks, Sylvie and Hannah. Sherry KB, you are up next, followed by Melanie C. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. Welcome, newcomers, and welcome home. You know, this paragraph is a very powerful paragraph and a small paragraph, but it's got so much in it. You know, it mentions the word fellowship twice, and there's such a difference, and I love the Big Book Dictionary, and I like looking up words. And this is what it says about fellowship. It says it's a combined membership of, let's just say, OA, association between individuals, especially on pleasant, equal, or intimate terms, a union of friends, or equals sharing common interests, experiences, or purpose, friendship, companionship. So the fellowship, to me, is the group of people that are in these rooms that I can either be of service to, I can be useful to. And what I notice is because I am a true compulsive overeater, when I would get bored, worried, or whatever, I would go into the food. Instead, I have a substitute that's far more better and far more richer, is that I know that when I start having feelings of anything like that or emotional, you know, get into the emotional side, I can get out of myself by making a call and being of service to somebody else. And it's amazing what happens. And my imagination does get fired because I really believe that my higher power gets in there like a spiritual vacuum cleaner and sucks all that yuck out of me that's going on when I'm busy helping others. And it's so rich and it's so beautiful. And it does take on a meaning that lasts. It does last. I mean, at last it's helping others and doing other things with people in this fellowship lasts so much longer than the food ever did. And it's so satisfying. And just, you know, getting close in this work, doing the work, helping other people, there is a satisfaction that I feel that I've never felt in any other food or things that I've done. It's just amazing to me. It's such a beautiful thing because every time I work with somebody else, and I help other people, they're helping me at the same time. It's amazing how it's a beautiful relationship. It's a symbiotic relationship, and this fellowship is so strong, and I believe in it. And without my higher power, I couldn't do any of this. And that does include the steps. It does include working with others and being of service and reaching out and calling newcomers, or people letting people call recovered people and hear their experience, strength, and hope, so that they can pass that on to the next person. That's what we do. So please take those phone calls when people call you, especially recovered people. Please return calls. It's so important. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Melanie C., you're up next. And after Melanie C., we'll take another lineup. We've got two spots filled. So we'll take some more calls on people who would like to share on the second paragraph on page 152. Please go ahead, Melanie C.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. Oh, I just feel so honored and privileged to be able to share on this particular paragraph because, you know, Elaine, you said it over and over and over again that there was something here that was going to be better and it was going to be beyond, you know, that thing, that impulsive thing that I had to have, that desperate thing to get that hit, that fix that was going to cut into that desperate, frantic, depressive self-pity, that escape from that something. You guys said that there was going to be something to substitute and actually better than that. And I said, nah, that's not possible. It's not possible. Vastly more than that, that thing that happened instantly just like that, that got me drunk just like that, that I didn't have to deal with all of that other stuff that was going on. Imagine it for a minute. And I can tell you unequivocally that today that is the truth for almost 15 years now. I came into OA in 1989, but 15 years ago, somebody told me the same thing then too and continues to reinforce it in these rooms like you do, Elaine, for me every day, that there is something, and that's something I call my trilogy triage, admitted to God, to myself, and to another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs, and then I parlay that into the exact nature of my nature. I have been born this way for me anyway, and it's a processing way that my brain brings in the world that goes absolutely south as soon as it comes in, and you have poured into me over and over again. I was reflecting on it today in my writing, and that is for 15 years, a set of women have poured into my life so that I could have life. I couldn't be more grateful for them. I don't even know how to even the scorecard. No one's asking me to do that, but I can't even imagine how I would ever accept that we have been given directions to pay it forward, to give it away, to be a conduit for whatever's coming in. I'm telling you, what I was doing before didn't require any reciprocity, and I didn't imagine and couldn't imagine how to do that. It didn't know how. The food didn't ask anything of me. It didn't ask me to be kind. It didn't ask me to share. It didn't ask me to stop raging. It didn't ask me to quit being abusive. All the things that I was doing, but you taught me how. I couldn't even hear God in the beginning. When people said, go to God, pray for this, pray for that, God will tell you. I didn't. You taught me how to have a life. Have a life. This ship was wrecked, but I must hang on to you. And you've never, ever, ever rejected me, ever. I wish I had more time to be able to go on, but it would be just going on to sing the praises of this fellowship and the women that have poured into my life so much so I could have a quality of life. With that, I pass.
Did all that. Thank you, Melanie C. Thank you very, very much. We're on the paragraph. Thanks, Joe.
And Leah.
We're on the paragraph in work and a vision for you. We're on page 152, the second paragraph. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. I did hear Charles H. and Leah ask. We've got room for two more. I'm sorry, that's all.
Veronica.
Hang on. Okay, I heard Lynette and Veronica, and you'll have to give me your initials when we come back. So I've got Lorraine M., Deborah E., Charles H., Leah S., Lynette, Veronica, and boy, I'd love to go on for another 2 hours and hear from all of you. So, but but let's stick with what we've got here. Okay, Lorraine M., please go ahead, and you're followed by Devorah E.
Hi, good morning. This is Lorraine N. in Oregon. Yeah, I think maybe I'm speaking more to the newcomer, but I just, this paragraph is just so powerful. I have the whole thing underlined and highlighted. I am so full of hope. When I first came into 12-step program 4 years ago, my life had hit rock bottom in every way. I was 65 years old. I lost my house to foreclosure. I had no money. I was no longer working. I was binging and or restricting every day of my life and hooked on diet pills and exercise. And then one day while I was sobbing through a meeting, a beautiful, gentle soul came up to me, put both their hands on both my shoulders, looked me straight in my eye and said, "Your best years are ahead of you." And I just, there's no way I'd believe that. I mean, my life, I felt, was over, you know, and I thought, he just doesn't have a clue what a mess my life is. But anyway, I continued to show up at meetings, and I honestly didn't know where else to go. I was now living with my son and family, and I mean, I just had nothing. So I just went to meetings and cried. And then one day, some beautiful woman came up and offered to sponsor me. And as I began going through the process of working the steps with her, slowly, painfully, one step at a time, one day at a time, my life did get better, a little bit better every day. And today, I'm drug-free, entirely abstinent, almost 3 months. I can't believe it. And I can honestly say that these past 4 years indeed have been the best years of my life and the most satisfactory years of my existence, as the paragraph says. So my life does have a whole new meaning today. You know, I wake up every day and I begin working this program. That's my life. I wake up, I get on this phone line after my prayer time, and I pray and pause throughout the day and many other things, work in this program, constantly in touch with other members. And so this OA fellowship is where I belong. It's where I fit in. It's where I'm at home, and it's where I found recovery, particularly with this Healthy Visions meeting. Everyone I know is in some 12-step program. I can go anywhere and be okay today. But I'm most okay and at home with like-minded people in our amazing fellowship around the world. And boy, did I love the Irish retreat. My maiden name is Finnegan, and I have been to Ireland. And listening to all those beautiful lilting voices, yes, was just beautiful. I felt like it was a wee trip to the old country. So, thank you for letting me share. And as I practice, I grow softer.
Gentle reminder?
Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much. And just really want to make sure there's room for everybody to share. So if you're able to share, shave us that, you know, little time off your shares, then I think we'll fit everybody in. Devorah, you're up next, followed by Charles H. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Devorah E., compulsive overeater, recovered in Southern California. And this passage gives me a lot of hope. You know, the book explains to me the nature of my disease of compulsive overeating. And not only does it tell me what I can do, but that there are going to be people to help me, that there are going to be people I can lean on. You know, I didn't trust that I could just give, that there would be a substitute. I didn't believe it. I was terrified to give up my binge foods. I didn't see how anything else could work because everything else that I tried didn't work, and it didn't give me any meaning or fulfillment the way working the steps has. And for a long time early in the program, I'd look at people who considered their OA fellows their closest friends, and I just thought, I was very judgmental about it. I was like, well, they must just not have any other friends. And today, almost all my closest friends are my OA fellows. I trust them the most. I can talk to them in the most honest way, and they understand me, and they're there for me, and it's really something powerful to have a group of people that I know I can call at any time, and that they will understand and be supportive. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Devorah E. Yes. Chelsea, you're up next, followed by Leah S. Please go ahead, Charles.
Thank you very much. So chapter 11 is a vision for you. It's a chapter for somebody that's broke, no matter if you're recovered. When I say broke, I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about physically and spiritually. So jumping ahead, if I may, to page 154, and we're talking about Bill W., our co-founder. He was bitterly discouraged. He found himself in a strange place, discredited and almost broke, still physically weak. He said, and the question, he wanted so much to talk with someone, but whom? So, you know, when we get to that part in 154, you'll see how he was pacing up and down. He found a directory, and he made a phone call. So the point I'm trying to make is, I don't care how recovered I want to be, I cannot do this alone. And I heard, you know, I heard a lot of people taking shots, or I presume they were taking shots at the fellowship as it contained, as it compared to the program. Without a fellowship, there would be no need for no program. Without a fellowship, there would be no program, right? Can you imagine me admitting, fifth step, admitting to God that only God alone? Like, no, God made people, right, so that I could be accountable, right? So imagine a fellowship. That's why we got so much in this time. We got so much Zoom meetings because people need people. I don't care how recovered I want to be. I need someone to help me because that sponsoree is helping me more than I could ever help them. So, sponsoree, thank you. And before I close, I want to shave time because I'm all about people today, right? I'm a people's people. So if I could take it to the last paragraph on page 16 where it says, most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. It says it's utopia. The fellowship leads to utopia. We have it right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. So don't discredit this fellowship, because without this fellowship, there would be no program. If Abby didn't go to Bill, Bill didn't go to, you know the story. So with that, I pass. Saving time.
Thanks so much, Charles H. Leia F., you are up next, followed by Lynette, and I will need Lynette's first initial when she comes on. Please go ahead, Leia.
Thank you very much, Elaine. This is Leia S., recovered in Brooklyn and trying to be sane. Life will mean something at last. Now, what does it mean? In a paragraph previous, it says, am I consigned to be stupid, boring, and glum? Wow. Do I have intelligence? Am I that stupid? If I had intelligence, then why didn't I understand that I have to stay stopped and stay with the weight that I had lost? And then, am I boring? Oh, my God, there's nothing boring around my life. It's all the colorful activities that are going on around me, but all around me. And am I glum? Oh, no, I'm not glum. I even caught myself now in recovery breaking a rule and singing out loud. I didn't look for a new life, a meaning, a life that is with meaning. But the truth of the matter is, I was existing. There's a difference between existence and mechanically doing, as opposed to when it comes from within. And that will and that encouragement and that happiness, it just bursts through you. And yes, I do need the fellowship, but I need the fellowship in combination with my higher power, because a human being is just that, a human being. And I needed a power that is really, really super, super. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leah. Thank you, everybody, for being so accommodating. We definitely have time for Lynette and Veronica. So if you could each give me your first initial of your last name when you share, that'd be great. Lynette, please go ahead.
Thank you, Elaine. I'm Lynette P., recovered in Southern California. And, wow, the shares have been so wonderful. And I'm always learning on this meeting, and I just love that. It gives me more information when I go through the book with my sponsees, and I love doing this chapter with them as well. You know, I have been arguing in my mind with that word substitute. You know, I'm not a big fan of it. And what is my resistance? And I think I'm splitting hairs, but and maybe and I know this chapter is geared for somebody who is maybe brand new to the program, and there's so many people that are not brand new to the program that are, you know, maybe relapsed or are having some trouble, and that was my story. And more than a substitute, and it's got that here. It's vastly more than that. I just wanted peace and freedom. You know, I didn't want necessarily something, one thing to replace another. I wanted to go beyond that. And I think maybe that's just a reflection of, you know, time in the program, possibly. You know, when I first came to Vision, I was sitting on the fence with some foods, with some behaviors, and even my relationship with my higher power. And then when I started listening to these meetings, well, I first loved the structure of the meetings and the depth of recovery that people had. I was in recovery for years and recovering, and I thought to myself, if this is the best that it gets, it's okay. But when I found out about Vision and recovered, so I can go further, I can actually be recovered, and it's through this fellowship. And what I hear and how I practice these steps and how I guide sponsees through these steps. And so it really does lead to something even more wonderful, rich, a fuller life. And I really do believe this, that, you know, somebody mentioned that, yeah, even regardless of what your age is, and I am in my mid-60s, that the most satisfactory years of your existence lie ahead. And I think that has been the case. It's just been wonderful, and thank you so much. I thank everybody, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Lynette T. Okay, Veronica, you are up next, and if I could have the first initial of your last name first, that would be great. Please go ahead.
B, like boy. Hi, I'm Veronica. Thank you. Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic from California. I'm so excited so many people are on here from California. I really do try my best to get up to make this meeting. I just love this format and the structure, and I love the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the blueprint of how I live my life today in abstinence, and you know, this is a great paragraph, you know, that I will find the fellowship that I crave. And when I was in my disease, you know, I would compare myself to my normal sister who can eat one cookie, you know, and she wouldn't have a problem not eating a, you know, eating half or if something was too sweet. You know, that's not my story. My story is that I just can't have one cookie, you know, so I know I'm powerless over food. And I come to these meetings, these Overeaters Anonymous for the identification. This is where I get my identification. You know, I have a best friend, and she would tell me, who is not a compulsive eater, she would say, why can't you just have one cookie? And that would really anger me. And so I learned early on in the program not to go to the hardware store for milk. You know, I go where you guys understand me, and this is in Overeaters Anonymous. And I know that if I make phone calls every day and I connect with you guys will lead me back on the spiritual path, because my disease wants to lie to me. My disease wants to tell me, oh, I can have this food today, or, oh, I'm having a feeling. My disease will tell me, oh, you can eat this, Veronica. And that's my disease. When I get in my disease, I get in a lot of trouble. So this is where I have to reach out to my fellows in program. Last night, I texted 3 fellows in program to let them know I was finished with dinner. That's what I did last night. And you know what? All 3 of them texted me back, thank you, or they acknowledged it. And that's the that's the camaraderie that I crave. That's the fellowship that I crave, because I know that you guys want only the best for me and that we're doing this together. I cannot do it alone. This is a we program. I need you guys. I need you guys. You guys get me. You guys are my people. You understand me. And I love this program. And today I will seek God and reach out to you guys. And you have a blessed day. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Veronica B. and everybody that shared. We're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, will Robin P. please read A Vision for You?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, amen.
Amen.